I am often reminded of Brother Leslie, and he's not with us anymore, is he? I remember hearing Brother Leslie one time say that he had sought the Lord for a message for every service. I don't know if some of y'all remember him saying that. And, you know, I find as I'm getting older, I'm understanding that a little bit better. And we, our prayer and desire is for the Spirit to have His way, that the timing is right and how the Lord leads. There's also a place that the Lord wants us to be prepared. And you know, last meeting, I felt like God gave me a burden to do that at this meeting. And I really didn't preach much, but do you know, I went home with a number of messages that the Lord had put on my heart. And we desire an interest in your prayers. The Lord had given me this burden. Felt if the Lord was going to have opportunity for us to share it. But I'd like to just, we don't want to take a lot of your time this afternoon, but it's something that is important and relevant, and I trust the Lord will bless us with it this afternoon. Written on the board, compel them. So if you will turn with me to the 14th chapter of Luke, and I'd like us to consider a parable for just a little bit that Jesus told. The 14th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 16. Jesus was speaking, and he said, a certain man had made a great supper, and he bade many. Now, there was a similar parable that Jesus told in the book of Matthew, and in that, it was a different parable, but it was very similar. And in that account, he said, a certain king made a marriage feast for his son. And so, he went on then in the story here. He said he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of land, of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, and we'll pick up there in just a few minutes. But the story here is of a king, of a man that made a wonderful marriage supper. And the illustration is this, that God provided the plan of salvation, and he sent out an invitation. He sent out an invitation to the Jews, to his own. He sent, now, if there is a marriage feast, there are some marriages that I know that there is a first round of invitations. And if those invitations are not responded to, there is a second round of invitations. This is the analogy Jesus was giving. The invitation was given to the Jews, and Jesus was getting to a point here. But the invitation to the gospel was given to the Jews. The Jewish people had all of the prophets that had been given pointing to the coming of Messiah. They had been given the ceremonies and the sacrificial rites that also pointed to the Messiah. So there was a background that they had full opportunity to accept Jesus as the Savior. Well, they made excuses and they did not respond as a people to the coming Messiah. The scripture says of Jesus that he came unto his own and what? His own received him not. They rejected him. Now, if you will allow me to give another little analogy here. Do you know sometimes right in the camp, people refuse the gospel message? And right in the camp, people who should have more opportunity to accept the gospel than those that have been raised hearing the gospel, right? Amongst the children of the saints. But do you know we find the same thing happening with many of the children of the saints that happened with the Jewish people? They were given opportunity. God did the best that He could. And I would say in the fear of God to encourage parents that have wayward children this afternoon, it doesn't mean that it's your fault. Every parent can look on their past and say, I wish I could have, would have done this differently. But God, if there was such thing as a perfect parent, it was God. And God said, I gave you the choicest vineyards. And I put a wall around you. And I did everything that I could. But still, wild grapes grew up. And the Lord asked the question in the prophets. He said, what more could have I done? The gospel was presented, and yet, because mankind has free will, the Lord is not going to coerce or force anyone to be saved. So there are times that I know parents carry great burdens for their children that are lost. And I know what that burden feels like because I have carried it. But do you realize that the Lord loves your children more than you do yourself? And there was a time that my son was wayward, and the burden was so great that the Lord came and he told me, he said, I care for him more than you did, because it was starting to break me. It had an impact on me that I couldn't, there was nothing I could do. That's why Jesus died. Because he came to carry a burden for the lost, that we want to have a burden for the lost today. Whether it's a child or those that have once known the gospel, but there is a world full of people that are lost. But we can only go so far with that burden because there's a measure that we have to learn to put it back on the Lord because it gets too great for us. So what more could have God done? And still they offered excuses. Well, and they had good excuses. I got married. I mean, I need to tend to my wife. And there are some people you wish you would like to tell them, go take care of your wife. Go take care of your family, but not to the neglect of spiritual things. Well, I bought some land. I need to go take care of that. Folks, the lawful things of life can be an excuse for us that we are not receiving the job that God has given us to do, and the call of salvation is hindered many times by lawful things. So I would encourage us this afternoon, when the gospel goes out and you hear the invitation and the call of God, be careful about making lawful excuses for why you can't do what God is calling you to do. So the Jews refuse as a nation to accept the Messiah. And the marriage supper is the grace of salvation that God provided. Do you know that the invitation that went out, they weren't saying, bring your food. Now, sometimes in a meeting in some countries in Africa, food is a real shortage, and it is a real problem to have a camp meeting. And so what they do many times is they send word out, come, and everybody brings some food with them. If you can bring a little bit of maize with you, and someone else brings some vegetables, and you bring it together to the cooks, and you see what's available to be able to feed the crowd. But do you know this? In this illustration, it was God that provided the feast. Salvation is not something that we earn by our merits. As a people this afternoon, as the saints, the wonderful blessings that we experience is not because of our good works. It is because of the free grace of God that was given to us. And so when we come together and we enjoy the blessings of the Lord, remember where it came from. It didn't come because I have been good enough. It came because we just opened up our heart and accepted the call of the Lord, and in His mercy, He provided a wonderful feast for us. But they rejected it. Rejected the prophets. And so the servants came and they told the master they've refused to come. And so the master of the house said, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Do you know there are different ways that this parable has been explained and understood? But suffice it to say that when the Jewish people, the religious people, refuse to accept the Messiah, that remember who Jesus ministered to? Most of them were still Jews, weren't they? The Pharisees and the learned religious people of the time as a body rejected him. And so Jesus went many times to other Jews. They went to the publicans. He went to the sinners. He went to those that didn't have a profession. So the invitation didn't just go to the religious people. Do you know that the invitation of the gospel today is not just going to a select few? He said here, go out into the streets and the lanes. Those streets and lanes were still contained inside the city walls. So some have interpreted that as being the Gentiles, but do you know, I kind of wonder a little bit because it was still within the city walls. The religious people have rejected me. Go out to the harlot and the publican, the tax collectors, those that have been rejected by the spiritual people, and tell them about Jesus. And some of them came, didn't they?
Yes.
They accepted the gospel message. It was freely. The invitation went out free, wasn't it?
Yes.
Whosoever will, just come. And yet they came back and said that we've done what you bid us to do, and there is still room. Do you know there is still room this afternoon? Look around. There's still room. Do you know there are some here that are not here because they've rejected the gospel message? There are some that have chosen to go out and do things on their own. But it is a blessing. And if you don't have any family that was amongst the saints, I'm so glad you're here. I still remember Brother James Bell years and years ago, and it stayed with me. He said, someone came up at me and he said, now who are you? He told him, they said, well, who are your parents and grandparents? He didn't have anybody to point him to. Thank God for that. Someone came in off the streets. Isn't that a blessing? It's good when you can say, well, my parents and my grandparents, I'm glad you're still here because you still made a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ, where many others have left with excuses. And yet the invitation of the gospel was not to those that had a heritage of truth. The message of the gospel was take it out in the streets and tell them that there is a wedding feast. You can eat and be filled and find the wonderful things of the Lord. And yet there's still room. And this afternoon there is still much room in Father's house. And so then he went on to say, and this is the crux and the essence of the burden this afternoon. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Go out in the highways and hedges. Go out of the city walls. Go out to the Gentiles. Go out to the poor people, those that have been disregarded, those that haven't been given attention. Do you know the gospel is much more effective among poor people than rich people? I know Brother Tony was mentioning that last time we saw them down in El Paso. It's true, because the more that people have, the more they have to consume their lives. Amen. Folks, we need to be careful about that very thing. Being rich or poor does not make someone spiritual, but I'll tell you, there are some real dangers because we can start getting so occupied with the things of life. And yet, you go into, if we went out on the street and had a street meeting in Guthrie, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be someone touched. But you know, there are other places where people are they're much poorer and have more need, that they are more receptive to the gospel message. And it's because the temporal, physical neediness makes them recognize that I do need something. And they are more open to hearing the gospel. And you know, that's the message that the Lord gave. Go out into the highways and the hedges. Don't stop preaching the message here in the pews. All right? But go out and compel them. Because the scripture went on to say, I quote in John chapter 1, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but what? Remember the rest of it? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The invitation was, whoever will receive him, they will become the sons of God. And so he told them to go out and compel them. The definition of compel is to urge forcefully or irresistibly. So how are we supposed to compel people with the gospel? One of the ways we can do that is to make, the scripture talks about making attractive the way, isn't it? If we are not happy in enjoying the gospel that we have, why in the world would someone else want to get what we have? We do have trials, but we've got victories. We do have things the devil's fighting, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if people come in or we go out and we are always down and discouraged and the weights and the burdens are pressing us down and the world looks on us and we're trying to tell them how great salvation is, it really doesn't look so great. There was a man that we used to see. He was an elder saint. Well, a brother. He had a profession. I'm not his judge. But it was a challenge to my wife and I every time, and we saw him multiple times a week. Whenever we would see him, we would try to get him to be positive about something. It was a goal. When we knew we're going in to see him, it's like try to get him to at least acknowledge the weather's nice. Or get him to acknowledge that he had a good night or some blessing in his life. And do you know, for years, I could not get the man to say one positive thing. Day after day and year after year, it was, well, hadn't the Lord been good? Well, it was kind of a rut, and he'd have something that wasn't good. Right. Do you know, I trust none of you all are like that. But I want to say, and there's nothing wrong in prayer meeting with sharing your burden, but folks, if all that it is burden from everybody, what message is that sending? You sit down and think, why did I come to prayer meeting? Everybody's discouraged and under the load. But it's been a blessing when I've been kind of down to hear someone else's victory that I can go and be encouraged. And so see, we all need each other, don't we? But as a people, the devil is trying to put a wet blanket over us. Folks, we have the best this afternoon that the world has to offer. We have the best that the life has to offer. God has something good for you today. And young people, I will just say directly to you young people that are here, thank you for being here, number one. But number two, you have chosen something good. And when the devil comes along and tries to make you think, if you serve the Lord, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to dress modestly, and you can't watch this, and you can't go there. You know who that is? Yeah, it is the devil. Because do you know what? When you get a full taste of salvation, it will make you happy. And yes, there are some things the flesh will still want to do. That's true. But you will have a choice to say, you know what? Yeah, I know the flesh kind of wants to do it, but I've got something better and I want to protect what I have. And to protect what I have, I'm not willing to sell it for the things of this flesh that I'll end up losing my treasure in the Lord Jesus. So Lord, help us to enjoy this wonderful salvation that we have this afternoon. So how are we going to compel people to come in unless we're enjoying it? So Lord, help us to make it attractive. Why are you doing that? Well, my church says I can't. Well, that works for a 7-year-old. But folks, we need to grow up sometimes. I hope that's all right. We need to grow up sometimes because my parents won't let me. It'll only take you so far. But thank God there's an experience that you can get with the Lord that you can say, this is my choice because I found something better in the Lord. And then we have a message to go out, not just in the pews now, because if everybody's kind of like we are, we can kind of fit in a little bit more. But when you get out in the streets and the lanes, go outside the city gates. Get out of your comfort zone and compel them to come in. And we're not going to force people to be saved. But I wonder sometimes as a people if we have lost the knowledge or the ability or the zeal to compel people. Because we're so careful, we don't want to step on anybody's toes and we don't want to. But folks, how will people know of the gospel if we don't take it to them? How will people know if we don't urgently compel them that time is coming to an end? And there is a salvation. The Lord wants to forgive you and save you. Do we need to be ashamed of that this afternoon? Do we need to be ashamed of the gospel message? No. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew. But thank God it didn't stop with the Jews, because if it did, we wouldn't be here, most of us. I don't know if there's any from Jewish descent here or not, but I'm a Gentile. And the Lord looked on and He sent someone out in the highways and the hedges, say, you know what? Tell them to come on. I've got something to give to them. Compel them. No people are excluded from the message of the gospel. There is no race. There is no tongue. There is no background. There's no socioeconomic status that people have that will preclude them from hearing the gospel message. So Lord, help us to compel. We're going to have conviction to compel people. If you get someone coming to your door trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner, you ask them if they own one. They come selling windows, you ask them what kind of windows they have. You see, go and find someone that's trying to sell you a Ford and they're driving a GMC, that tells you something too. If we are trying to share the message of the gospel with people, we need to be first partaker of the fruit and enjoying it with conviction. Do you believe? Do you really believe the way that you're living is right? Is the church of God just another church among churches? Is it just another lifestyle? If that's all it is, we have missed the essence of what the church of God is all about. The church of God is are people that have been called out of the world, that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and with their desire and their heart and their motivation is, Lord, I want to follow you no matter what the cost. But too many today are offering their excuses. Lord, I'll go this far, but I'm not willing to pay the whole price. That is not the church of God I read about in the Bible. The Lord wants us to be people of conviction. And I know there are questions that you might have. There are still some things I would like the Lord to reveal to me more and that I would understand better. So young people, questions are normal. And there is a place in growing and maturing in the Lord that the Lord wants to begin to answer some of those questions. So if there are things you don't understand, I would highly encourage you, maintain the status quo. Keep doing what you've been taught by holy people of old. And through time, and as you draw closer to the Lord will begin to reveal and lead and direct, till you too can have personal conviction that I'm not just perpetuating something from mom and dad, but I believe this because the Lord has revealed it to me. That's how you can begin to compel when you have conviction. But if we as a people lose our conviction about what this is all about, we are going to wither on the vine or off the vine, and we're going to die. So we're going to have conviction of what is right and what is wrong, that we would still have a message. You know, to compel someone, it takes some persistency. You know, some people have a whole lot of persistency, and some people don't have enough. We need some stick-to-itiveness. You know, it's hard for people to even ask someone to come to church. Isn't it? I mean, and then we testify about what a sacrifice we made for the Lord is because I asked someone to come to service. But to talk to someone about their soul, that has almost become foreign for many people. And I say, Lord, would you help us to get a greater vision that we believe so much that we will go out in the highways and the hedges and not just say, you know what, there's a marriage feast over there, but compel them. There is something better. You don't have to stay in this condition. There's something better. Do you know if there's something better? It's easy to share it, isn't it? So Lord, free us from being bound to our reserve sometimes. And I'm not talking about throwing the gospel in people's face. Jesus didn't do that. You know, when he was going to go to the village of the Samaritans and they didn't want him to come, and his disciples, well, let's call down fire like Elias. And Jesus said, wait, you don't know what manner of spirit you have. And it said Jesus went to another village. In other words, I'm not going to force myself, but folks, Lord, help us to know what it means to compel. I'm not going to give up because of one rejection. I don't want to, because what someone did, say, well, we'll write them off. But can we have a little bit more spiritual persistency to be able to follow after and seek? Because didn't Jesus come to seek and to save? He was looking, He was pursuing, He was compelling them to come in. It's going to take a zeal. Zeal. Not a zeal without knowledge, but a zeal with knowledge. A zeal, folks, the Lord wants to revitalize and restore the zeal that we have for the things of God. I am so thankful for those that have a burden to work for God. But folks, the greatest work of God is not done behind the pulpit. The greatest work of God is done when you go home and you go to school and you go on the job, and it's not, well, this is the job, my job life, and this is my church life. No, this is God's life. That wherever we are, I want to see this is my mission field. And Lord, help me. Say, well, I want to go on a mission trip. You are on a mission field, folks. Compel them. Lord, open up our eyes that we would have some zeal and fervency. And where does zeal come from? But a fervent love, isn't it? You have a fervent love for someone, it creates zeal to make sacrifice to be with them. But if you don't really care about someone, how much are you going to sacrifice to go see him?
That's right.
You'll wait till it's convenient, and usually that doesn't happen. But when you have a fervent love, it creates zeal. So Lord, help us this afternoon that we would have a fervent love for God, for truth, for His people, for the church, but most of all, as messengers, that there is a wedding feast. And you can come as you are. They invited, in the account of Matthew, it said they invited the good and the bad. Have you ever looked at someone and said, well, they would never want this. They would never want this. Some of those people that you think look like they would never want it, they would make some of the best saints of God. The Lord can clean them up. It's not our job to clean them up. It's not our job to untangle the problems of their... Their marriage is so messed up. Don't even tell them about the gospel, because it... Wait, that's not my job to fix the problems in their life. That's the job of the Lord. And folks, He's still doing it. When people are opening their hearts to God, He is still saving people. So you leave the results to God, good and bad alike. Lord, help us to compel them. I'd like to conclude Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? And this is the key part of this scripture. For as soon as Zion travailed, what'd she do? She brought forth children. As soon as Zion travailed. Folks, it's going to take some travailing and sacrifice. It's going to take giving up some things. But folks, we have something so wonderful to share with the world. So Lord, as we go and we teach our children about the things of God, we're still in the city, aren't we? And then we go outside of the four walls of our home and we come to service and the saints and people associated with the saints, and we go out and we share and we invite. But Jesus said, there's still room.
Yes.
There's still room in my house. So will you go out and compel them to come in? Doesn't matter what their background is. People come in. The book of James, it says, don't be a respecter of persons, whether they're poor or rich or have a lot or smell good or smell bad. You just welcome them in and bring them in and show love to them and care for them. And there is nothing that will win a sinner like love.
Amen.
So Lord, would you help us? It's really a prayer today. Lord, would you help us to know more how we can start compelling people instead of just sending back? It's one thing to send out an invitation by mail, but it's something else to go and offer yourself and sacrifice to compel them to come to this wonderful wedding feast that God has provided for us. Amen.